York City, connected with the world. Here's Tom Sullivan.
Well, here we are. Welcome to the Big Radio Show on this Tuesday, the 24th of April, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and I've got to tell you, this is not Friday, but we got to do a little financial here because the markets did some things today that I think caused my attention, that's for sure. So at one point, the market was down 650 points. It closed down only 424 points. Yeah. So big drop on the stock market today. And what was the reason for it? Well, we've got right after the end of a quarter, for the next couple of weeks, we've got what's called earnings seasons. And a lot of companies that are publicly traded companies report how they did in the first quarter. And so those earnings numbers have been coming in. But today there were some that were not up to par, showing maybe that their businesses are slowing down. And that makes Wall Street nervous about, is the economy slowing down? Don't know. But that was enough to spook the market. But what really, really, really spooked it, I'm going to get a little wonky on you here, but at 9:48 a.m. this morning in New York, Eastern Time, the 10-year Treasury hit 3%. 3% interest rate on the 10-year Treasury. Seconds after that happened is when the market took a dive, and it kept diving and kept diving. So we've got some lousy earnings reports on top of this is, you know, stock market is when we go through 10,000 or we go through 20,000 or we go through some of these odometer rollover numbers. That's what this is. This is a psychological level on what the 10-year Treasury interest rate is. And this is the first time in years that we have seen this go to 10% or 3% on the 10-year Treasury. So it's touched it a couple of times, but it never really has stayed there. And it's backed off almost instantly. So now we have this higher interest rate. So what's the big deal? Like I said, it's more psychological than anything else. But psychological levels on in the financial markets can make a big difference. So the question is, how long is this going to last? How long is that going to be at 3%? Now, here's why the Treasury issues all kinds of different bills, notes, and bonds. In other words, promises to pay. You give the Treasury some money, they give you back a certificate, either a bill, a note, or a bond. That says, we're going to give you your money back plus this amount of interest. So people invest for the interest income from the United States Treasury. They invest in it because of the fact that it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, et cetera, et cetera. They issue 3-month, 6-month, 1-year, 2-year, 5-year, 10-year, 30-year maturities. But the 10-year, why this is so important, is that the 10-year Treasury is used by lots of people that make loans on what they're going to charge. They're going to charge whatever that rate is plus some more so that they can make a profit. So your adjustable mortgages, going to go up. You go in to try to get a mortgage this afternoon, it's going to be higher than it was yesterday. You want to go get a car loan, same thing. It's going to be more expensive. All of this, most consumer loans are based off of the 10-year Treasury. And so even though it touched it, in 2013 and again in 2014, touched it, backed off. It's been since 2011 that the bond market has been going up and interest rates have been going down. So with this also brings up the question about, is the three-decade run that we have seen of interest rates going down and bonds going up, has this come to an end? But this is, the 10-year Treasury is the global benchmark for borrowing costs. If you are a mortgage banker, you are looking at what you're charging for mortgages. And if it goes to 3%, you're going to have to charge 4%. If it goes to 3.5%, you're going to charge maybe 4.5%. You might charge 5%. Depends upon if interest rates are still going to keep climbing and you're going to invest in a long mortgage. I want more than what the rate is today. I'm going to build in some extra interest rates. So all of this will mean that you and I, if we go down to the bank and borrow money, it's going to cost you more. And this is a real benchmark on all of that. Now, here's who else it will cost more. The government. Whether we're talking about the United States government or we're talking about your state government or your city government, all of them are going to have to pay more to borrow. And government borrows. They borrow to build roadways. They issue bonds to get the money to build a bridge, to build a library, to do all the various things that government does. They borrow the money, and they then spend it to build these long-term projects that they need, schools, hospitals, you name it. Back to you and me as homeowners, if you have a mortgage, if it's a variable rate mortgage, that mortgage is going higher. If you want a school loan, going to college next year, that's going to cost you more. All of these are based upon this 10-year benchmark for making loans. So then you look through your 401k or whatever you have in investments, and if in your 401k, do you have anything in there that says fixed income? Because if so, the value of that fixed income, those are bond funds, and the value of that bond fund is going to take a drop, going to take a hit. So that's going down. Then when you get into the stock market tanked on this news because that means companies who borrow money to build factories, expand their companies, new locations, buy more plant, get more equipment in the plants that they have or build more plants. All of that is they borrow the money to do all of that. It's going to mean that it may not pencil. So they may not build more factories. They may not buy more equipment. They may not expand. Which then gets into the whole question about the broad economy, about will this slow down the growth of the economy that everybody's been all excited about. And the reason why, I've told you before, a lot of people are all jazzed about the economy. The attitude checks are all way up. Everybody seems positive about the economy. I keep looking at the numbers, though, and I keep looking primarily at income, wages, and I don't see them going up very much, barely at all. So if the company that you work for has to pay more money on their loans, are they going to give pay raises too? So you see how this, I'm trying to explain something that's a little bit wonky, but at the same time, it has very far-reaching effects. And everybody and their brother in the financial world has been watching this 10-year Treasury creep up, and everybody's been not surprised that it hit 3%. It was just a question of when, and when it did, the market took a dive. So, in theory, a company's profitability is going to be impacted by higher borrowing costs. But that's not necessarily completely true. It depends upon the company. If they are a company that borrows a lot of money, then they will be negatively impacted. If they are a bank and interest rates go up, banks make more money. They lend money and therefore make more money with higher interest rates. So this is good news for banks. It's bad news for utilities and companies that borrow a lot of money. So on one hand, you've got one part of the bond market is saying that inflation is just around the corner. We have had a very long run of low inflation. Most people alive today have never seen severe inflation, and it hurts the poor and it hurts the elderly more than anything. Why? Because the poor are on government fixed programs. The elderly are on a lot of government fixed programs, and their income doesn't go roaring back up when the interest rates go back. On top of that, you got the Federal Reserve saying they're going to keep raising interest rates, and that's a sign that the economy is heating up, that it's getting better, that it's going to grow faster. And so the Fed will keep raising interest rates to kind of squash the growth so it doesn't grow too fast. So one part of the bond market is saying inflation, it's right here. It's coming. It's coming and coming fast. So low-income and elderly people, watch out. There's another group on the opposite side of that coin that said the Fed is going to have to, they can't just keep raising these rates like this, because the economy can't withstand much steeper borrowing costs without slowing down. So it's a tightrope that they've got to walk. But if you have questions about it, give me a call. But this is 3% U.S. government bonds, 10-year government bonds, for the first time since 2011. 855-295-6600. This is a big deal. 855-295-6600.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
All right, so our the bond market pushed interest rates up to 3% today, and the stock market took a big, big tumble. One of the other relationships between the interest rates that are on bonds and the stock market, if the stock market and your bank, let me back up, your bank is paying you 0.00000 something for your deposits, you're going, man, I'm not making any money off of this. And you look over at the stock market and you go, well, heck, there's companies over there that are paying dividends that are higher than what this bank's paying me in interest. And by the way, the stock market's been doing really, really well. And so why don't I take some money out of my bonds and out of my bank and put it into the stock market? I'll take a little more risk, but I'll earn a lot more money. Well, that's the mindset of generally the stock market investor. But when you're not really all that risk prone and you go, I don't like taking all these risks, and all of a sudden you see that the interest rates that the banks are paying are starting to go back up, and you go, oh, well, they're paying enough of an interest rate where it's not, I don't need a microscope. I can actually make a little bit of more interest over there. I don't need to take as much risk to earn money at my bank. So I'll take the money out of the risky stock market and I'll put it in something solid that makes at least a decent return on my money. And there goes the money out of the stock market and back into interest-bearing investments like bank accounts and government bonds and things like that. So it's a big day on the financial markets for treasuries. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Carl, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I listen to your show a lot, and I think you and I and many others have had this looming thought in the back of our minds about this inflation that's coming our way, just based upon what's gone on with monetary policy over, I don't know, the last decade, really.
Yep.
But anyway, I feel like it's coming. One thing I wanted to mention is, you know, from my view, at least from my what I remember my training, was two ways the government's really going to stimulate the economy. And one of them being low interest rates, which they absolutely have control over, and shown more control with this quantitative easing work that they've done. And then the other is tax cuts. And so when I looked at this last round of tax cuts, you know, it seemed like we already had a pretty strong and growing economy. Granted, a number of issues still with it, but then we floor it with tax cuts. I mean, what do we expect is going to happen here? It's one or the other. Now, interest rates have to go up. It's one of those things
Sure. Where
the economy is going to and is becoming overstimulated. And I really think this is a policy decision. I mean, who pays
when
that happens? Who gets rewarded and who pays?
But the problem is we just have increased our national debt by $1 trillion. And that means that the interest that has to be paid on that $1 trillion is going to be a bigger hole in the overall government budget. It's a tightrope.
Yeah.
You can't fire this up too much, because if you do, you're going to kill the golden goose. The amount of money that you owe on if you're the government that's my biggest concern, is that number is going to become so huge that the government will not be able to have money for almost anything else that they want to do.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, because I think that's kind of a near-term problem. A near-term problem is the cost of debt as well, incrementally, what we're going to pay on that incremental debt. But then, you know, who knows? It could be sort of part of this policy also to devalue the existing debt overall, which, granted, it has more impact on interest rates, future cost of borrowing. But, you know, what if our dollar is worth half as much as it is today, you know, in the future, that debt's really not as painful as it may seem.
That's true.
I agree with you. I just think it's an interesting, I think there are policy decisions behind this. I don't think it's as haphazard as it may look. And anyway, I worry that it does affect the elderly and the poor disproportionately.
Absolutely. No question about it. But the dollar also goes higher when the Treasury pays a higher interest rate. And if the dollar goes higher, that means that we are going to be able to import more foreign goods, and foreigners will be able to buy less of U.S. goods, which is going to exacerbate the trade imbalance even more. So, I mean, I don't know. This is a pretty big day, I think, to have this 3% Treasury sitting out there. Carl, I have to hit the break, but thank you very much. I appreciate your comments.
New York City to the world, Tom Sullivan.
Hello, world. How are you? Going back to the first hour of the program today, we're just getting word. CNN is reporting that Dr. Ronny Jackson will not withdraw his nomination for now. So I'm not quite sure what the "for now" means, but he is not tossing his hat aside or throwing in the towel. He's sticking with it, trying to get the nomination of the president for VA secretary. So we'll see what he stays, how long, if he goes the whole route. Talking about interest rates going up today, hitting a magic 3%. It's a big benchmark number on 10-year treasuries. That is the benchmark that the lending industry uses when they lend money, is the 10-year treasury. Whatever loan you get is generally based off of some percentage above whatever the 10-year treasury is. So as it goes up, your interest rates are going to go up. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Mike, thank you for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
How you doing, Tom? I'd like to say long-time listener, first-time caller, but I've talked to you a couple of times. So
welcome.
I can't really say that.
All right. Welcome again. What's going on?
Thank you. I work in the distressed property foreclosure business, residential.
Okay.
And I work for a company that does thousands of properties and have done thousands of properties during the last mortgage crisis. And the owner, who's educating me as I work for the company, says when that 10-year bond goes up, the adjustable rate mortgages all go up. We got to hire more people.
Yep.
And so it's unfortunate, but, you know, my income and a lot of my future income depends on people getting booted out of their houses when they're unable to pay the adjustments to their mortgage. It's kind of sucks, you know, for them.
Two things. One is a lot of people, it's been a long time since there's been any adjustment of any size. And secondly is they forgot that mortgage they've got, if it's an adjustable, is going to go higher someday if interest rates go up. And like you said, they could maybe barely afford the lower payment. That payment's going to go higher. Will they be able to make it? And if not, that property winds up in your hands.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I grew up in the in Cleveland, and I remember in 76 my mom and stepdad buying a house and paying 16%.
Yeah.
And I remember in 94 when I got out of the military and bought my first house in California, I was at 6.5% and thinking, oh, my gosh, 6.5%, what a great interest rate.
What a great deal.
The current mortgage I have now, a VA loan at 3.75, good that I fixed it at 15 years. You know, I don't have to worry about it.
I you are saying it so well, Mike. I couldn't say it any better. A lot of people don't realize historically just how low these interest rates have been. So people have been able to buy much more of a house than they would have in previous years. And it also goes to who's got the big debt. That's the U.S. government. And can you imagine what a small increase, let alone a big increase in interest rates, will do to the cost of paying government debt? That's going to have to come from somewhere. They're going to have to diminish other government services in order to pay for the higher interest rates that they're going to have to pay someday. So this is a big deal today.
It's a double-edged sword, because that low interest rate also sets an expectation in many consumers' minds that when they borrow money, they should be getting this super, ultra, super low interest rate. So, for example, they go to Sears and they're going to buy a new refrigerator or stove, and they're thinking, what do you mean I got to pay 22% on my Sears credit card? I can get a mortgage at 3.75.
Right.
And so they base a lot of their borrowing or buying decisions on what the mortgage rate is, and as that mortgage rate climbs and they're paying higher for interest on consumer types of purchases through the different lending companies, Synchrony or Wells Fargo, whoever, and they start paying 9%, 11%, 21%, that starts to drive down their ability to purchase.
There's I'm glad you called, though, because there's another part to this. If you're into the distressed real estate, there's really, of all the types of categories of investments out there, the two that do well in a rising inflation are stocks and real estate in general. Not you know, I can find all kinds of exceptions to that, but if you have something with an interest rate on it and inflation is going up 3%, 4%, 8%, 10%, you're going to be left in the dust. And that's unfortunately where a lot of elderly senior people have all their money tied up in some sort of treasury note or treasury bond or something like that. The thing that goes up is the value of real estate and stocks in general. And that's the only way to ride the inflation train higher is with primarily those investments. I mean, there's commodities and other things, but of the major categories, that real estate business that you're in, not only do you see people losing their homes, which you wind up taking them, fixing them up, but now you've got people that are going to pay a higher price for it. So,
well, see, that's exactly the business I'm in. I'm the person who shows up at the house with the sheriff to have them put out on the street. And the business I have, we clean out all the properties and get rid of all the stuff that's in there after going through the lien process and the waiting periods and all that. And it's, you know, it's a sad portion of the business. But at this point, I'm thinking I better buy another truck and trailer. So,
you might need
it. It's feast or famine, and you gotta ride the wave while it's there.
Yep, absolutely. Interesting call, Mike. You're in a very interesting business. I appreciate your honesty on it too, very much. Brandon in the Bay Area of California. Hello, Brandon.
How you doing, Tom? I just want to say, first of all, I love your show.
Thank you.
But I just wanted to say one thing about the bond thing. See, a lot of people don't understand the bonds. Doing that with the bonds, bonds are debt to America. So the bonds are going to affect everybody, unborn to senior age. So this affects everybody in the step of the process.
Sure.
And I think that America is just going to use bonds as a debt, and we're just going to get more enslaved in debt to a country, a third world country. We think we're more advanced than them. And we're going to either have to do one or two things, go to war or follow their policies, foreign policy, all of that. So I just wanted to leave my comment right there. And
well, you are right. I mean, I look at this and I go, with the way our national debt has grown, and we haven't seen any real big increases in interest rates. We're at $20 trillion. And we haven't seen any real increase in interest rates since it was back around $5 trillion. So can you imagine the amount of money it's going to take? And so you've got tax revenue coming in, and you borrow money. But when you borrow money, you're going to just keep adding to the debt problem. But what are you going to use the money for? More and more of it you got defense, you got Medicare, you've got all these different things, education, pencils and paper clips, all of that, and more interest goes up, the less you're going to be able to afford all those things.
It's all a big circle. It's all a big circle. It all goes around, and they just keep the green dollars rolling to keep people motivated to think they're making money, but really America is a third world country in its own sense if you really think about it.
You have to measure everything on how much is my pay raise going up more than inflation? And if so, how much? Because inflation, you can get it, like you said, people will think, I got a big pay raise. Yeah, that's because there's big inflation maybe out there. That's what if it gets big, people get snookered by the fact that they got a big pay raise, but it was eaten up by the cost of everything they have to buy. I got to hit the break, but Brandon, I do appreciate your call. We'll take a short break. And be right back. Phone number is 855-295-6600. You can find my phone number, email, Twitter, Instagram, podcast at TomSullivan.com.
Unpredictable, unprecedented, undeniably. Tom Sullivan.
Until Financial Friday to talk about this, because the market a little after 9:40 this morning is when the 10-year Treasury hit 3% for the first time in many, many, many years, really going back to 2011. Steve Rattner, big investment guy, private equity guy, was on MSNBC this morning, I think Morning Joe, and he said, all the conditions for inflation are here.
Typically, high deficits are associated with times of recession or high unemployment. You can look at 2009, for example, when we had 9.3% unemployment. You look at 1983, where we had 9.6 unemployment. Those were all periods of high deficits. But now we're sitting here at an estimated 4% unemployment as we sit here today, but estimated to go down to 3.3. And yet we're also looking at a deficit that is still over 4% as a percent of GDP. The last two times we were in that zone of deficits relative to GDP were in 1992 and 1976, when we had over 7% unemployment. And so when you have deficits this large at a time of low unemployment, You're simply going to drive up wages, then prices, and create inflation. And that's a large part of what the credit markets are worried about.
Yeah, so stand by for some inflation. We haven't seen good old inflation in a long, long time. Long, long time. But it's set up for it right now. It really is. 855-295-6600. Derek, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, I think we don't have much inflation now because we are buying so much from cheap China goods. And they're holding so much of our bonds. And I think our bond price fell because they are selling part of it. Isn't it right?
Yeah, I mean, they are selling off some of their U.S. Treasury holdings. China is. And that floods the market. And the market, therefore, in order for somebody to buy the bond, wants a higher interest rate. So, yeah, there's some of that. Some of that's going on. I think it has an awful lot to do with just our general debt, no matter who we owe, China or anybody else. Our debt has gotten excessively high. And so we had the big tax cut, and people said, well, the tax cut will stimulate the economy, and the economy will grow faster than the cost of the increased interest rate. And I doubt that. So I think Steve Rattner's right. I think we're in for a period of inflation. Some people benefit from it. Some people get hurt by it. But it is what it is. And if you study inflation, the history and the cycle of inflation, you can't give a broad brush to it and say everybody's going to be hurt or everybody's going to be helped. Depends upon what you're doing with your money.
So, is this something, well, what impact to China? If bond price fell and interest rate going up, what is so good to them?
Well, they're like anybody else. They're going to invest in something that gives them a return. So if the return is higher, they may go back to buying more. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But they're an investor like anybody else.
Is there something with the trade war? Is it part of the trade war or something?
Well, that could be a tangent of it, yes, because with the trade war, what they want to do is make our dollar much higher and drop the yuan lower. And as a result of that, the people of China would have very difficult time affording U.S. products. So exporters trying to sell their products in China, good luck on that. And the reverse is products made in China would be much, much cheaper for us to buy, which therefore increases our imports, which therefore continues, just keeps the trade war going in China's favor. So that's part of it too. It really is a super balancing act that we're supposed to be in. But it looks like everything's set up with interest rates hitting 3% on 10-year treasuries today. Looks like we're set up for a good chance of inflation is coming back. So get prepared is all I'm saying. So we'll see what China does. But, Derek, I do appreciate the call. Back to Steve Rattner. He was asked what all this means for the average person.
Look, what it means first, it means a number of things. First, as we talked about, rising interest rates. It means more inflation. It potentially means, it certainly means much more debt down the road that it's going to have to be paid for by all of our children one way or another. Eventually, you're going to have to cut benefits. You're going to have to cut spending. You're going to have to do stuff to rein this in. And so it is a burden and a price that we're putting on to our children.
Yeah, and he said it very quickly, but they're going to have to cut benefits. Can you imagine the screaming that's going on? Have you seen these teachers in Kentucky and Arizona, other places, screaming because the pensions in those states have gotten so high, they're so expensive, that they have to cut other government services? And the teachers don't want that to happen. They want their pension, and then they're saying, no, we're going to have to cut your pension so we can keep government services running. And that's kind of what this is. One thing gets more and more money. There's only so much money to dish around. You wind up cutting benefits. Ratner says the markets are nervous about inflation because no one agrees on just how much growth we are going to get in this economy.
Well, I think the markets are starting to see that coming, and that's why you have headlines like this one in the Wall Street Journal today that basically says Treasury yields are nearing a milestone. They're heading for 3% for the first time in 4 years. And so the market is getting increasingly concerned about inflation coming. Now, the Republican alternative or their argument is we're going to grow our way out of this and that the tax bill is going to create all this growth. There's a fair amount of difference over that point of view. So the tax cuts advocates say, well, if you just get another 0.4% of annual growth, revenues will increase and this deficit will go down. We won't have that problem. The problem is that not many people agree with it. The Tax Foundation, which is right-leaning, thinks you might get 0.3%. But then you look at a whole passel of very independent forecasters from Goldman Sachs to the CBO to Moody's to the IMF, and they're all looking at fractions of a tenth of 1%. And the IMF actually thinks the growth might even be a bit less than it otherwise would be because of all the deficits that we're creating.
Well, put me in that camp. I'm not sure that the growth is going to be enough to pay for that tax cut. But one man, comment line bank, is the market, like I said, 1 point down 650, closed down 424, the Dow at 24,024, S&P down 36, the NASDAQ down 121, the price of oil at $67, and gold at $1,332. Comment line, this caller says being a good administrator isn't a bad thing.
Yeah, people don't like people that's got a lot of experience in government, but if you get sick, you go see your doctor, not your auto mechanic.
That's true. And this caller says people should know when they're getting what they're getting into with Facebook.
Hey, Tom, one thing to remember with anything free like Facebook, if it's free, you are the product.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's free. Yeah. You're exactly right. Thanks for coming by. See you tomorrow.